This podcast discusses topics involving human death. Listener discretion is advised. My name is Ivy, and welcome to the Taphophile Diaries. A taphophile, also sometimes called a tombstone tourist, is defined as an individual who has a passion for and enjoyment of cemeteries, epitaphs, gravestone rubbing, photography, art, and history of deaths. So, if this sounds like you, you might just be a taphophile. Episode 6, The New Orleans Casket Girls. It was the early 1700s, and French colonies had been established in what is now Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana in the U.S. But the primary men who settled there were lonely due to the lack of women. So the governor of Louisiana requested that the French government send women to come marry and have families with the French colonists to help further establish it and grow. But as these women arrived, something seemed off. They were described as coming off of the ships with pale skin and trunks that, to some, resembled small caskets, hence the name Casket Girls in the title of this episode. In the French Quarter in New Orleans, you will find the old Ursuline Convent, where many of the Casket Girls stayed, and where many of them also mysteriously disappeared. It is also said that their caskets, instead of being full of clothes or personal items from their travels, were, in fact, empty. Of course, the implication here is that these women may have been vampires traveling to the New World, which explains their very pale skin and the coffins being empty because that's where they slept. So perhaps their disappearances are from these nuns who are housing them to protect the city, going so far as to nail the shutters on the windows of the convent shut using silver nails that had been blessed by the Pope himself. Not only can you find this information online, but many paranormal and supernatural themed tours in New Orleans will also share this eerie vampiric tale. But how true is this? In the early 1700s, ships full of single, eligible women were sent to the French colonies. But it wasn't just women they wanted. They wanted, specifically, good virgin women. So women who are virgins, of course, and of a higher social status. But instead, they would later receive ships containing some women who were deemed as, and I quote, women without futures. Because of the 258 women that were sent there via a series of ships between the year 1719 and 1721, 29 of these women were from orphanages, 35 were from various poorhouses, and 194 of them were convicted criminals that were released from the infamous French prison La Force. However, I should note that there is debate over how many of these women did actually arrive in New Orleans, with some scholars believing that there weren't any of these casket girls in New Orleans whatsoever. But regardless, we do have records to show that these French women were shipped to other French colonies in the early 1720s, and these women would go on to be known as the Pelican Girls, named after the ship, the Pelican, which many of them had come over on. They were also referred to as filles à la cassette, or the Casket Girls. And this is where some confusion and vampiric lore comes into play, because it's the French word cassette, which translates to the English word casket. Historical context is important because today we hear the word casket and think of a funerary casket, you know, what we bury the dead in. So people often read this and read titles like The Casket Girls and are led to believe that these women traveled here with actual burial caskets. But the word casket back then meant a small box, which is all that their caskets were. Small chests which they used to store their personal belongings for the voyage ahead. They were not the caskets we picture today. For years, I've come across these vampire stories of the Casket Girls, and a few weeks ago when I was in New Orleans, I was excited to immerse myself in that history, maybe go see the convent for myself where they were held. And although the vampire side of this, of course, wasn't true, then I also learned that the Casket Girls didn't seem to ever arrive in New Orleans, and initially the episode was just going to end here. But in my research on this topic, I came across a much darker side to this story. Because although thinking of the Casket Girls as these secretive vampires being held up by these nuns is obviously cool, there is a sad and upsetting reality to what their lives were really like. So why were these men so desperately in need of marriage? Desperate enough to go so far as having ships of single women literally sent to them. It's weird, and I felt like this was worth discussing more because in a lot of paranormal storytelling, the reality of these stories is often left out. We tend to focus on the cool and the creepy and not more of the cold, hard facts. The governors of the French colonies grew worried at the relationships forming between the French men and the indigenous women, as these men had been turning towards them to fulfill their sexual needs. And this was seen as a problem because some of these French settlers and governors viewed the indigenous people here as being quote-unquote wild and without God. So for a French man to partake in relations with an indigenous woman was viewed as being dangerous for his soul, as they lost a grip on their Christianity. Not only that, but these men were now also described as acting like quote-unquote animals themselves. The racist language and ideas are impossible to ignore in this conversation, and is a part of this story that, again, is usually left out when talking about the Casket Girls. In one letter about the French women being sent there, we get another insight into their purpose, not just to marry the men, but it was detailed that, and I quote, "Each of these girls was raised in virtue and piety and knew how to work, which will render them useful in the colony by showing the Indian girls what they can do." This, my dear listeners, is a big role in why they were being sent there. Not just to marry, but presumably, based on letters like this, these Casket Girls were also meant to essentially teach indigenous women their talents and roles in society, aka the household, partaking in the colonization of the indigenous people of the Americas. Some of these indigenous women who formed relationships with French settlers also found themselves in decent positions of power. They would act as translators during trade deals and became an integral part in the fur trades. This role gave them far more power and independence than the average French woman. Of course, this didn't really align with the typical expected gender roles of men and women in French and European societies. But now I want to take a moment to talk more about these French women, the Casket Girls, the Pelican Girls, what have you, that were being sent here. Because some of them, in a way, were also victims themselves. The long sea voyages that these women partook in were risky in general, with sickness and disease spreading on board. Bad weather was, of course, a dangerous factor, and sometimes there could be a lack of food and drinks. But these women were also, according to some sources, chained together on these ships. Once they boarded, they were taken to what was essentially a warehouse where they stayed and where single men could come see them and find one that they wanted to potentially marry. Many of these women would end up unmarried, but some would marry within just a few months of arriving. But perhaps the most disturbing account is from the youngest of the casket girls, who was only 12 years old. Yes, that is correct. They sought out and boarded a 12-year-old little girl, a literal child, to go off and ideally marry some random older man in the French colonies. And this little 12-year-old girl had previously worked as a sex worker in Paris since the age of 6. Yeah, a sick and tragic story of what men had put her through for her to end up just being shipped off to these colonies. It's disgusting. For the sake of covering all bases, I will add that some women did want to come to these French colonies and marry and settle here, and chose to willingly. But we can be certain that this wasn't the case for all of them, and that even for those who did genuinely want to come here, the reality of what they were met with was nothing that they expected. Many of the homes were poorly built, they still had dirt floors. There was a lack of gardens for growing food, and some of these women actually refused to quote-unquote bed and board with their new husbands until they fixed things up, because the living conditions were not great. To make matters worse, yellow fever would make its way through these settlements, and many of these casket girls that came over lost their lives. So, another influx of single French women would arrive to continue marrying off and growing these settlements. These casket girls were eventually able to establish themselves as part of the growing fabric of the French Louisiana colonies. But we cannot deny the reality of them being brought there for the sexual desires of the lonely men and for procreative purposes to grow said colonies, and to participate in the cultural erasure of the indigenous women who they were meant to teach and set an example for. And of course, some of these French women had little to no say in being brought there and married off, or maybe they did go on their own free will, but they didn't marry the type of man they wanted. And of course, there was a literal child who was included on one of these ships who was also set off to marry. It is a shameful part of this region's history, but the American South and many areas of America hold countless other tales of tragedy against many other groups of people. This is all a reminder of the cruelty in our past that set the foundations for this country that so many of us call home, and the unfortunate truth behind the famous vampiric tales of the Casket Girls. Sources for this episode are all linked in the show notes below if you want to learn more about topics discussed in this episode. You can find the Taffophile Diaries on Instagram and Facebook, and check out the Taffophile Diaries website for a blog covering even more haunting cemetery tales. And of course, join me next time for episode 7 of the Taffophile Diaries, where I will talk about a famous cemetery and the poltergeist that haunts it. This podcast is produced, researched, and edited by me, Ivy Boyd. Music is by Dimitri Terrace from Pixabay.